And here we have something, as I say, that to me I had never focused on before. But let's clear a few things out of the way first before we get to that. Just so that you know, I'm going to focus on that verse 3. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. What will be the focus there? Born again? Oh, we have a right old argument about that, can't we? Oh, if you want to provoke people, you say, I'm a born again Christian. And oh, wow. And then you say, well, actually, it also means from above. But we'll come to that anyway. No, it's the word see. See the kingdom of God. That's what the focus will be. I love the sense of humour within here. Because have you ever noticed, Nicodemus says, how when you're old can you go into your mother's womb and be born again? Think about the mother. How old is she, if she's still alive? There's a kind of ridicule almost going through here in this response. It's also fascinating that Nicodemus doesn't even ask Jesus a question, and Jesus answers a question, because Jesus knew what was inside Nicodemus, who, by the way, just in case you've ever got into the debate, might have come by night because he was scared of what people would think of him, but he might equally have come by night because it was time to get Jesus on his own. So again, don't ever get caught up in that argument. It's not just not worth it. Lots of people, would you believe, lots of people argue over the daft things instead of the things that matter and focus on them. But here are two very, very profound things here in this particular passage. The first is that being born again, being born from above, being wooed into the kingdom, being encouraged to believe, the belief with which comes change, is a sovereign act of God. And we have so personalised, so individualised Christianity that we have largely taken out that wonderful element that it is God who gets us, not we who get God. And so often we trivialise what we call conversion, whatever we might like to call it, becoming a Christian, into this very individual thing where I made a decision for Christ. But the reality is, as you read here, the wind blows wherever it pleases. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That really digs home. God finds us. And in fact, the reality is, every day he is calling everyone. But only in some will that calling take root. Will it stir enough? Sometimes we think of it as the brooding of the Spirit, like there was the brooding of the Spirit over the chaos of creation. And here we have the brooding of the Spirit over the chaos of our lives. God calling us. And then, of course, we move on, and quoting effectively from Numbers, when there was that outbreak of the snakes because the people of Israel, the Jews, had so sinned. And they said, what are we going to do? What can we do? And God said, take a bronze serpent, hold it up and look to it, and then you'll be healed. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And isn't it an amazing thing about the cross that the person who is being humiliated, destroyed, who has been convicted, who is being agonizingly killed, is raised up so that people look at them? It's not the drop of the noose, it's not the axe, it's the looking up to the one who is supposed to have done so much wrong. And there is Jesus, who took every single wrong in the world ever, historic, future, bore it upon himself. Everything that is wrong in our world, he took upon himself on the cross, and people were looking up to him. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And that is what Jesus says here. and we look to Jesus. So the Spirit stirs within us. The Spirit calls us. And I'm hoping that everybody here has responded to that. When you're standing in a church, you kind of think, well, most people probably have. But there's no guarantee. And we must always say, if you feel that stirring, if you have not felt that within you, you have not looked to Jesus and felt that transforming within your life that is the coming of the Holy Spirit, because there is what Jesus means by born again or born from above. It is not that we affect change in ourselves. We just decide, right, I'm going to be a better person from today onwards. I'm going to be a Christian. That is not what it's about. It's about God coming into us. And of all the religions in the world, Christianity is unique in so many ways. And one of them is God comes and lives in us. He transforms us from within. And so when we think about being born again, there is no other type of Christian than a born again or born from above Christian. And the validation of that, not that it needs validation because Jesus said it himself, is found in Romans 8, where Paul says, and if you haven't got the Spirit of God within you, you don't belong to him. It's not an arguable point. You can't be a Christian without having God within you, because all you are is a person trying to obey Christian principles, like Nicodemus was trying to obey the law. Now please remember to credit Nicodemus as well. A, because if Nicodemus had not gone to see Jesus, we wouldn't have this passage. And we wouldn't have that eruption, or at least it might be in another form, of course. We wouldn't have that eruption into John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But let's also remember that Nicodemus stood up in the council and said, you shouldn't judge a man without hearing him, and was shouted down. He dared. And remember that he was with Joseph of Arimathea when everybody else had run away and they buried the body of Jesus. We know nothing more. But don't we hope, don't we believe that he went on to be a disciple of Jesus? Maybe he was in that upper room, the 120, on the day of Pentecost. We just don't know. But he had the best shot, didn't he? And of course, this whole passage has Jesus proving the very point that he's making to Nicodemus, because he's saying to him, and feel the compassion there, that Jesus is saying things that on the face of it sound very critical of Nicodemus. And maybe they were to a degree, because obviously the Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law were great enemies of this radical change that was coming in Jesus, that had already come through John the Baptist. But also remember that Jesus is proving the point. No, Nicodemus can't understand. Why can't he understand? Because he can't see the kingdom. Why can't he see the kingdom? Because he hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. Yet. He's getting glimpses. He's being drawn. He's having this audience with Messiah, the Son of God. He's got a one-to-one with him. And Jesus is proving the very point. You can't see what I'm talking about because you haven't received the Holy Spirit. But when you do, and let's say when, but we don't know, if you do, let's say when, out of hope, when you do, you'll see what I mean. And that's where this, what we sometimes playfully say, the wet kip around the face, you know, when you're slapped with something that brings you to your senses. It began to unfold something that is happening around us, that I would challenge us today to focus on, among the many things, but this is a great focus, because Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And I would ask you just for a moment to think to yourself, how do I see the kingdom of God? How do I see it? Now I know that Jesus goes on and we would always leap forward to, oh, it's about becoming a Christian. Well, actually Jesus makes it almost more profound than that, because he doesn't use the word Christian. He says it's about entering the kingdom of God, which is amazing, isn't it? We say, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is entry into the kingdom. And the kingdom is not about me, it's about us together under the sovereign rule of God. And that is just incredible. It's amazing. And so take that moment and repeat this. What does the kingdom look like in the world that you occupy, where God has placed you? And if he's nudging you on somewhere else, we'll go there, if that's where he wants you. But at the moment, where you are. Even here in this moment, what does the kingdom look like? Does it look like a bloke standing at the front talking to you? Or is it more than that? Is it a lot more than that? Because we believe it is. And that is just an amazing thought, that God, through renewed eyes, by virtue of coming to live within us, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Remember the chorus, some of you? We look out with new eyes and we begin to go everywhere and see differently. Now, it's not always easy. We were at a meeting the other day, about five Christians in amongst, I mean, it might be more Christians, but we were the five sitting together in the corner, looking like we were sort of in safe group together. But it was rather good as a witness to the church active in Newport. There were five of us amongst about 20 or so. At a Shaping Newport youth provision meeting last Wednesday. And it was about what is being done among young people, because you'll know if you live in Newport, if you walk around Newport, especially in the evening, I know there's probably a few clubbers here who find themselves in the bus station in the evening, and it can get a bit, walk across Church Lytton, a bit threatening. And the police know that. The council know that. It's known. And so this was a meeting about what is needed. What's already going on? What is needed more? So here's the challenge. Go and stand in the bus station one day. Sit in the bus station one day. Good. Look, see the kingdom there. Look for the kingdom. Because if the Spirit of God is within us, we will see what it is, either that is already happening, which could well be, or things that are going to happen. And I learnt the other day that actually Southern Vectis, the police, and street pastors are working together to see if there can be a greater policing, patrolling, soft patrolling, not heavy patrolling. Uniforms tend to provoke some kind of reaction. Whereas street pastor uniforms, for example, softening. We were saying just before the service, street pastors have learned that you go up to somebody who's looking really angry, who's really upset about something, maybe on the point of becoming violent, and they say, do you want a lollipop? Not quite, do you want a lollipop in Jesus' name? But actually, it's exactly what it is. Do you want a lollipop in Jesus' name? But they don't add that bit, don't need to. And the person becomes quite often softened like a child because they've been offered a lollipop. And it may even be that their sugar levels are down and that's why they're uptight. Could be as simple as that. But it's so, so positive. And so that's one of the things that is happening, that is the kingdom coming. There's detached youth work done by Revive, which goes out into Church Lytton. Pete, Luther, Ian Peters, Peter Herman, who's the Newport youth worker, and several others, they're quite happy to go out into an area many of us would walk around and to just go and find the most awkward group of people that they can and start talking with them. And isn't that a wonderful kingdom thing when Jesus goes out amongst the people that others have perhaps pushed aside, can't cope with, not unreasonable to say that, and are actually meeting with those people in Jesus' name and showing what God's love is like, for God so loved the world. And there we're seeing the kingdom. Here's another thing, the most amazing thing that has happened in the world of street pastors for the last 5, 10, 15 years is happening on the Isle of Wight. Ascension Trust, who are the overarching body of street pastors, are so excited that their director, their CEO, is coming to join this particular thing, along with 29 mainland street pastors. That's more than the number of island street pastors, to make it happen in the best possible way for the glory of the kingdom of God. And that is that whereas in past years street pastors have patrolled from the festival site down into town with the church on the roundabout, a partner base, giving refreshment, offering shelter for people, this year street pastors are pastoring on site. It is amazing. It is such an amazing opportunity, something that I don't think we could have considered. Years ago, there used to be a Christian presence on site in the Solace tent and other things. Probably still will be, I don't know. But this is massive, and this is seeing the kingdom. When that festival is on, whether you love it or hate it, whether you can hear the music or you're far enough away not to hear it, if you're one of those people who lives close enough and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to sit in my garden and listen because I get it for free, or go in. Some get passes, don't they? I'm going to actually enjoy this. God is going to be there in a tangible way. And we've got a special festival prayer a news card. If you want to take one of those, if you run out, then we can provide more. But this is to really get people praying for that massive event. What else is God doing in his kingdom? Well, would you believe that a Christian charity, which has become quite well governed and has reached out with credibility to a particular part of the island, should be able to bid for a massive community wellbeing contract and is awarded it by the council, such that it goes from employing a handful of people to something like 60, 70 people. It goes to have a £1 million turnover as a charity, but remains a Christian ministry. And that's what's happened to Aspire over the last few years. It got the Living Well and Early Help Service contract. Now you could say, why is a Christian charity messing with that kind of thing? It's messing with it because actually it provides inroads into every part of the island with the love of Christ. It provides partnerships with people like Pan Together, Ventnor Town Council and West Wight to link up and have this network of kingdom activities across the island, this sense that this is one island. And all of these things that I've mentioned, and so many more, we could say Sway, Youth for Christ, Anna Chaplin's, Embracing Age, all working together, all fueled by people from particular churches, but when they're on the front line, it's kingdom work, not what we might call empire work. You know, there's things where an individual church decides to do something and you kind of begin to feel a bit uncomfortable because it seems to be just for itself, instead of this is the kingdom of God being seen by his people, God's people, because those people are out there on the front line, not worried whether you're a Baptist, you're a Pentecostal. I love this idea that a Roman Catholic and a Pentecostal could be side by side. Or maybe those situations where, you know, your church has been told, oh, you shouldn't have anything to do with that church. You're out there on the front line of the kingdom. And you look at each other and you say, "What? Why is it like that? We're all making the kingdom known." Here's just a few things to comment on the kingdom being seen. The police and crime commissioner awards lots of money to Christian endeavours, particularly Revive, street pastors, Youth for Christ, some goes into Aspire. And this is money that the world is giving to Christian ministries to do things in the name of Jesus. Now, obviously, there'll be clauses that you don't go out preaching the gospel. Over-enthusiasm for the gospel can actually sometimes be quite off-putting, hence the sometimes acrimonious debate over born-again Christians. But when the love of God is shown, and Peter says, when you're asked, with gentleness, share the hope that is within you. And our street pastors, our detached youth workers, loads of people are finding that when they do these things in Jesus' name, people say, why are you doing this for me? What do you get out of it? Then you're allowed to say. There's a housing site about to be begun. It's been a long time coming, but we're nearly there. And it is the first, it's only 7 units of accommodation, probably for female veterans, who are the least looked after of the veterans. And that will be in Arch, which is the Aspire shop in Ryde High Street. And that money has come from a community housing fund that nobody else has yet managed to tap into. And yet, this is a Christian ministry that will be providing houses for people in need, or flats for people in need, accommodation that nobody else has been able to provide. And it's a revolution that could become bigger. I said about seeing the kingdom. Next time you go past the sawmill site in Trafalgar Road, please look at that through the eyes of the kingdom. Please let the Holy Spirit give you a sense of what it could be if, by some chance, or not chance, by revelation, God had ideas for that. Because there are plans already drawn up for a youth centre, for community housing, for that site. And the only thing waiting is the prompt from God to get on with it, or the prompt from God to say, no, that was never my idea, forget it. But at the moment, the first of those is the more exciting, I think, given what needs there are. Mental health on the island. The mental health services on the island are in crisis. That is fully accepted. If you're in crisis, you ring up, you might get an appointment in 6 months' time. The crisis is here now today, not 6 months' time. And God, I think, is calling the church as kingdom bearers to be a community that not only welcomes neurodiversity, but actually ministers God's love into that, so that people who are different from each other, which is all of us, feel safe. It's an incredible opportunity. We've got a mental health friendly church training day at the Priory coming up on the 8th of June. It's being led by Kintsugi Hope. If you don't know Kintsugi, it's about mending things so that the repairs are fully visible, not like the repair shop where you can't see the join. It's an incredible ministry, and God is bringing that so that we all in our churches can welcome the different ways of seeing things instead of pushing aside the people that we think are a bit crazy, a bit awkward. We've got a guy in our church who stands up regularly in the service, and he started sitting at the front and standing at the front and wandering around at the front. But actually people have got used to it because they know him. And that's how he is. He can't sit still for long. Amazing. In drawing to a conclusion, there is also a side to this that we need to be aware of. Another passage that you will struggle to get a definitive view on, because there isn't a clean answer, is in Matthew 11, verse 12, where it says about the kingdom coming with violence, Now that sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? Let me go to it. Matthew 11 and verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. If you get involved, or are involved, and you'll know this if you are, in kingdom work, you will encounter suffering. The Bible is full of making us aware that as Christians, we are not spared suffering. And that suffering will come in various ways, some of which will be the enemy hating what is being done. And just at the moment, in fact, strangely, since primarily Christian ministries got together at True Vine back in February and shared an evening of come and see what God is doing, there has been a violent attack on people as individuals, on people as groups, undermining, safeguarding issues. And it's felt like a full-blown assault. But here is the wonderful thing that has also come out of this, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, as Paul says. And that is, when you put on the full armour of God, which I hope you do regularly because it's tough out there, and we certainly need it. Always remember that when you come to the shield of faith, that is pretty useless if it's just your shield. Because, hey, I've got my shield up against you lot, firing arrows at me. Oh, I caught one in the back. What you can see in that is those Roman soldiers who would have been so evident, out into battle. They are together, they are a fighting force, and they've got those locked together over their heads, and they are like a tortoise. They are like this great thing going along, and everything's bouncing off the top of them. Why? Because they're together, they're moving forward together, and they've got each other's backs. Our shields locked together against the violence that will come. I'm excited about the coming of the kingdom. I'm excited that we can see it and that God wants us to see it, but to share it as well. And I'm going to end with a poem, Glimpsing the Kingdom. It's a thing I do to Maxine's detriment, is write poems. It's a kind of offloading. It's like doing a journal. And I think this might be a good way to close, to encourage you that when the Spirit comes to us, that sovereign act of God, it is in part, in significant part, so that as born again, born from above Christians, we are able to see the kingdom and to talk about it, to share it. We'll see it wrong, be corrected if needs be. But when you see it, share it, and others will get that excitement. We'll actually see that it is really super exciting to be involved. It's dangerous, but God is with us. And if he is with us, who can be against us? If God's kingdom came and his will was done on earth, as we regularly pray, what difference would it make in the day to day? And would, as some might think, there be no fun? Would the absence of hunger be a burden on society? Would an end to drought be dull and disconcerting? Would inclusive hospitality undermine community? Would meeting every need be so disturbing? Piety and sobriety have been led into disrepute. Holiness, we tend to confess, seems unattainable. But those blessed by the Father are left in no doubt that total obedience is utterly wonderful. Let's pray. Father, your kingdom is coming because your will is being done. And as we move to this time of sharing in the body and the blood of Jesus, we are reminded that we are one body. We are born again by the Spirit of God, this fighting force, this leaven as Jesus says. The only time he uses it positively, this leaven for society, salt for the world, the salt of the earth. Lord, help us to look for the kingdom wherever we are, here and beyond, to keep in step with the Spirit, to do the will of the Father, to make the name of Jesus known, because on this Trinity Sunday, we declare in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we will do your good, pleasing and perfect will, and we will see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.